Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Shout out to everybody who was with us late in the show yesterday as we were approaching Today in Music History, as we played you that musical rendition of True Colors from, I believe it's the Duggar Band. I think last night they posted a follow-up video.
Yeah.
They shot up all the way to number 2 on iTunes in the Today's Country charts, and I think number 8 overall globally on iTunes.
Nice.
So, yeah. I actually listened to the whole song yesterday, not just the chorus that we played for you. And maybe we could play the full thing later. If not, no big deal. The only thing I can think of as to why that channel in Nashville, Channel 4, the NBC affiliate, refused to allow them to perform that on television on their, I think it was in one of their in-studio sets, is there is a stretch of the lyrics, not that this is justifiable, but they say, fight, fight, fight. And I think that is in regards to Trump after being shot.
How many songs
fight,
have
fight, fight?
How many songs have fight, fight, fight?
That's true. And that's the only thing I can think of.
It's ridiculous.
Even though that's still an absurd reason not to.
Yeah.
But it's I listened to it about 5 times last night, so I like the song, and I'm going to keep playing it.
Well, Nick's alma mater, fight, fight, fight. That's in the Temple.
The Cherry and the White.
Right.
Fight. Well, yeah. Yeah.
It's
I never knew Temple was MAGA. Who knew that? Unbelievable.
That was. Remember, I told you we visited this. I think was it this past. I forget when it was. Where we visited Temple's campus. We're looking at colleges with David.
And then you were like, "Nah, North Broad."
No, they have a great. I mean, the Luke Klein was a mentor. I mean, of mine. So that's the Luke Klein Communication School, Temple, and they have they're building a new building and all, but they had the band coming through and they were doing the fight song and they're in red. And I'm like, oh, wow, look, I didn't know they're, and I said it loudly.
Yeah.
I go, look, they're, that's for Trump. They're, and my husband's like, Dawn, you know.
Yeah. No.
No, he just didn't want to deal with,
right,
you know.
Right. All right. A couple of other things we'll get to as well. This Fetterman Stephanie Rule story and this clip we're going to play for you, a back and forth, an exchange between the two. Very good. And then hopefully if we have time before the cut sheet, how young is too young for kids to be left home alone?
Ah, good question.
We're actually going through that right now personally, myself, with my wife and I and our daughter. So I think we all have a thought or two on this.
How old are they, 10?
Yes, they will be 11 in September.
I was left home alone at 10.
Yeah? Were you like Macaulay Culkin? Did you...
Maybe 11.
Maybe trap the house from bandits?
Maybe it was 11.
11?
Yeah.
That explains a lot.
Because I'm part of the greatest generation, Gen X, when parents didn't coddle us.
Yes.
Like, oh, what? Could a stranger come in the house? No, no stranger's going to come in the house in Wind Gap, Pennsylvania.
Don't tell Dawn that. She sees bad people everywhere she walks.
I know. Well, it depends, though. If you have so we'll look at this. We'll talk about this because it depends on law. There are laws.
Yep. That's ridiculous.
There are some states have strict laws on this.
Yep. That's true.
And then as well, we can talk about boys versus girls, because boys are going to do things like take see if you take a Bic pen and you take the back of the cap off the back of it, then you put a lighter at and you see if it pops off, and then you've got ink all over the house. That's what I don't think a girl would do that.
Yeah.
Boys might do that.
Don't tell us yet, because I do want to get into this. Don't tell us yet. This is just a tease, Dawn Stenson.
Right.
But
I do not endorse Bic pens. I'm a pilot guy.
I want to know how old your kids were when you finally left them home alone. Don't say it yet.
Ooh.
Don't say it yet. But I think we should take a wager. Nick Hale, you and I, you like to bet.
Rumor has it.
Let's take a bet on the age. And if you want to get in on the YouTube chat, too, and guess the age that Dawn Stenslin and Larry Menti finally, and it's not Larry's fault, it's definitely Dawn,
100%.
Left her kids home alone for the first time.
All right, we'll do that coming up shortly, but let's get to the news. Round number 2 at 7:08, Dawn Stenslin.
So good morning, Kale and Company News Live. We are sponsored by the Philadelphia Boat Show this morning. And we're having a cooler, rainy day, so we'll talk about the forecast in just a moment. In the news this morning, a 150-acre wildfire is now threatening a lot of buildings, dozens of buildings, including a local grade school. This is South Jersey firefighters and the New Jersey Forest Fire Service. They're the first ones who responded to this fire. They're calling it the Scotland Run Wildfire. And so in this one, it's Franklin Township, Gloucester County, New Jersey. And so as of this morning, the fire officials there say the wildfire, they've contained at least 50%. It still is threatening at least 20 of those buildings, including, like I say, at least one grade school. So that means that the fire threatened 60 structures. So they've, like I say, 50% contained. They made a lot of progress overnight with the help, they say, of these volunteer firefighters who've been protecting these structures. So they're overnight, you know, a lot of hard work because they're spraying. What they're doing is they're spraying down the structures. And then as well, creating situations where they try to divert the flames, that sort of thing. So New Jersey Fire Service is still in the area. All the fire engines, bulldozers, ground crews. So if you're in and around that area, you're wondering about the road closures. That's what's going on here. I don't have reports of injuries, thankfully. These are dangerous for mostly these first responders and these volunteer firefighters who, by the way, aren't going to go to work this morning because they're volunteering. So we want to thank you for your service as we watch that. And I would say for the rain that's upcoming later today, that's a welcome sight for when you think about a wildfire like this one. By the way, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they're advising you to deal with certain types of invasive species. And it is National Invasive Species Awareness Week. I don't know if you knew that.
I was going to carve out a little of my free time today to really hone in on that.
It's my favorite thing.
Can we get an explanation? Do we have further?
Like, I wish I had audio of somebody going, "This is National Invasive Species Awareness Week." People.
You know they're covering this right now in WHYY.
Yes. Yeah, we could do like a spoof.
Yeah, a deep dive into. Yeah. It's National Invasive Species Week.
Arthur, yes. What, Arthur, what do you think is the most invasive species?
Women.
Oh, this is good. This is women. What do you mean? Why am I laughing? No. Children. Maybe children are the most invasive species. But seriously, that's what they're calling it, National Invasive Species Week. And so they're saying that, yeah, the best way to get rid of these little suckers is to eat them. And so we got to talk about this morning as we look at that. They're saying the best way during hunting, fishing, is to hunt them, fish them, and eat them. That's the bottom line on this one.
Yeah.
So it's U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and this specifically is New Jersey. And so they're saying that they actually, these critters cause ecological nightmares. They don't belong here, and they really mess up our ecosystems. So what are we talking about? Feral hogs, also known as a wild boar.
Mm.
And they're not native to our continent. They're from Europe and Asia. Somebody brought them here, but now they're invasive species in our region. I don't know if they're running around in Jersey, if it's a new, I don't know. The green iguana is another one,
okay.
Invasive here.
Mm.
Invasive carp, also known as black carp,
mm-hmm.
grass carp, or silver species.
Okay.
In our rivers and our lakes.
Sure, a lot of people, carp fishermen out there.
So, northern snakehead. None of these are native to our area. And nutria, which is one I've never heard of. And this is another kind of invasive fish. Mm. Nutria.
Okay.
So mostly fish. The only, except for the feral hog or the wild boar.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can go for some wild boar right now.
Go ahead. Barbecue
sauce.
So they're saying the best thing to do, hunt them and eat them.
Yeah. Mm. Nutria. That sounds like a maha type fish. Sounds like something Bobby Kennedy would eat. Nutria. It just sounds healthy, doesn't it?
It does sound healthy. I guess it is. But
yeah.
I really just wanted to say National Invasive Species Awareness Week in the news.
Yep.
That was the whole goal of the story. I apologize. So we have that one going on. We're going to talk about this this lunar eclipse that's happening as well this evening. Starts at midnight, goes to 6 in the morning. And so in this one, they're saying it's a blood worm moon.
Mm-hmm. Blood worm.
Blood worm.
So it'll start when we are asleep, and it'll come to a close right as we begin the show.
It kind of gets good about 3 o'clock in the morning. Between 3 and 6 is when it gets good.
Well, Stalker told them they had to wrap up because, as you know.
We start at 6 a.m.
So the moon's been advised.
By the way, on YouTube right now, thank you, Phil Almquist.
What?
He started a poll. At what age did Dawn finally leave her kids alone? And there are four choices. 10 to 12, 12 to 14, 14 to 16, and over 16. And let me vote there. Right now, between 14 and 16 and 16 and over is winning.
Okay.
Don't give... I don't want to say anything. I don't want to see a poker face yet.
Yeah.
Keep voting. YouTube.com/at1210WPHD if you want to vote on this.
With Phil taking the initiative to launch his own poll.
I like it.
We didn't even ask for it.
All the Phil timers out there.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. By the way, two things. Just looking at this, the... Yeah. Not our brush fires, but remember the fire, what was that? Was it on Monday or last week? They're saying that a New York brush fire that we had talked about, wildfires, they were not started by Senator Chuck Schumer grilling. Nope. It was a resident who was making s'mores.
Oh.
So all these camping warnings going out. If you're making s'mores or you're doing some grilling, be careful.
If you can't control your own little campfire, it's just outrageous.
It's true.
I mean, it really is. Have a clue of what you're doing.
Yep. It's ridiculous.
It really is. By the way, s'mores are completely overrated.
No, they're so messy and gross.
Ah.
This is North Jersey, but I do want to say this is a breaking story this morning that we remember when another CEO, when this sparked national and international news, was targeted. In this one, there's another CEO that allegedly is being targeted in North Jersey, their North Jersey home. They were victimized by an arsonist, and this is the home of a biggity big executive from the pharmaceutical giant Bayer. And so now they believe that this was a targeted situation. And so the company is famous for obviously Bayer aspirin and Aleve, but they also merged with Monsanto, who's often in the news, and also the maker of that controversial weed killer, Roundup.
Mm-hmm.
So the home
is killing everybody.
That's why you should use natural lawn.
Thank you.
Organic and safe for family and pets.
Thank you.
Can I? All right.
But
any of those? Well, we don't use them because we have Natural Lawn of America. But I will say with those, any kind of a weed killer that's not like, you know, organic,
mm-hmm.
you have to be careful. You have to wear proper masking or be careful of if it's hot and the air is stagnant. I think that's part of what all this is. You're breathing in whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think, a rule that you should follow with anything.
So this Bayer guy is apparently reportedly being targeted?
They believe now that this is the search for someone who clearly the investigators say, targeted this executive.
So we have another Luigi out there.
Well, in this one, thank God, in this one... no significant damages. Nobody was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the latest here. At first, they thought that they did, you know, they're investigating it, and now they're confident that this was a situation that somebody was trying to harm this CEO of pharmaceutical giant Bayer and their family.
Mm-hmm. By the way, this is horrendous. I just pulled this from the New York Post. No, that's the way you were saying. Luigi Mangione, speaking of him, gets his largest donation yet from a mystery giver.
What the heck?
He got an anonymous giver gave a staggering $36,000 earlier this week, topping the previous record of $30,000 as the total exploded to over $722,000 they've raised for his defense fund.
It's unbelievable. All these ridiculous GoFundMes.
By the way, I think I might know, and I'm just guessing here, but I think I might know who the anonymous donor was.
Okay.
Roll it, Phil.
Yeah, they brought it back
a couple of times. They went with cheaper leather.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because some corporate had to give himself a bonus check at the end of the year. What if we made it worse, but made it look the same?
Yeah.
Then could our pools be bigger? Luigi!
Yeah. All right,
oh my
Bill.
Gosh.
I'm so tired of that guy. His little act on the hating on billionaires, which is actually a perfect segue to the Fetterman Stephanie Ruhle stuff we'll get to.
You can hate on billionaires all you want to, but like free Luigi, really?
Yeah.
$722,000 for the Luigi Mangione Defense Fund.
Yep.
What is it? We're a sick society. We are a sick society.
Yep.
And getting sicker.
Yep.
And we'll also, are we going to talk about Snow White?
Oh, woke Snow White. Right? I had that on yesterday's show. We never got to it, but by all means, knock yourself out.
The Disney, we don't have to talk about it now, but one of the headlines, inside Snow White's movie nightmare as Disney, quote, doesn't know what to do with their outspoken star, Rachel Zegler.
Yeah, well, here's an idea.
Playing Snow White.
Don't cast AOC for a Disney role. Seriously. Looks just like AOC, talks just like AOC, has the same left-wing political anti-male ideologies as AOC. You really think that they're going to... Would you take it to the bank right now? Would you empty out the 401k and wager on the woke Snow White bombing in theaters? I would.
Yes, 100%.
It is going to bomb. Again.
How much did they spend a fortune on this thing?
Stop hiring people that are entertainers that are more known for their political views.
Yep.
You're destroying your own brand for nothing. For what? Virtue signaling? Stupid.
And in this, the weird piece of this is Gail, I know it's pronounced Gadot, but Gail Gadot, who plays the evil stepmother, is actually so beautiful, and she's been silent. She's trying to tell the Snow White actress, like, zip it, honey.
Yeah.
So in this one, they have pretty much canceled or downsized everything. The red carpet, they're so worried about what this young actress is going to say.
Yeah, she's uncontrollable.
What a mess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for free speech, but you're bad for business, right?
But they've canceled the red carpet. They've canceled pretty much everything. And then they have not just her speaking out, but they had actor Peter Dinklage, right, who spoke out about, what is it called? Achondroplasia, which is a form of, quote, dwarfism, but he had spoken out about the fact that to say the word dwarf is you're not supposed to say
That's right, yeah. You can't say the M word anymore for short people.
And so he just like had put the movie down as well.
Right, yeah. I don't know.
The M word.
Try selling movie tickets. Novel concept.
Yeah, it really is. It's unreal. All right, we have to break.
Oh, we do? Okay, yeah. The Philadelphia Boat Show, the boat sale of the year, it's back. Thank God for the boat show. We have good news. Philadelphia Boat Show, this weekend, March 14th to the 16th, Expo Center Oaks, top tri-state dealers. They are ready to deliver saltwater fishing boats, pontoon party boats, ski boats. They've got the bass boats. They've got the PWCs and more. See phillyboatshow.com. phillyboatshow.com. Get all the details. Get your tickets. Philadelphia Boat Show, Kale & Company.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. I've been teasing the Fetterman-Stephanie rule exchange. It's about a two-minute clip. We'll save that for the cut sheet. That'll actually fall in perfectly for when Sean joins us. But coming up next, Home Alone. How young is too young for kids? And who's accurate with their vote on a YouTube poll?
YouTube.com/@1210WPHT. What is the age Dawn finally left her kids alone?
34.
10 to 12, 12 to 14, 14 to 16, over 16. Right now, it's a mixed bag. Right now, over 16 is winning with 32%.
Okay. We'll get into that conversation coming up next. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group. And we are talking about Mercedes-Benz today. The extensive selection at MB of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City, where they combine luxury with performance across the full line of sedans, SUVs, coupes, roadsters, and more. From the powerful engine of the 2025 C-Class sedan to the impressive towing capacity of the 2025 GLE SUV, you will find a luxury vehicle that meets your every needs. And so you can schedule a test drive today behind the wheel of your dream Mercedes-Benz or shop Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City by just simply going to PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. That's PiazzaPremiumAutos.com.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The title, Home Alone, How Young is Too Young for Kids? They write, if you're a parent, you might wonder when it's safe to leave your child home without supervision. But research shows that more than 40% of children are left home alone at some time. But what age is appropriate? And how should you plan for it? We all know the famous scene from the movie Home Alone. But what age is okay to leave your kids at home? The American Academy of Pediatrics suggests that 12 and older is an acceptable age for kids to be left alone for a few hours at a time. But experts say you should consider your child's comfort level, maturity, and access to support before making that decision. Be sure to set firm guidelines. Keep your weapons, your alcohol, and tobacco products securely locked away. And have clear boundaries about who can or cannot visit. And check in with your child regularly to make sure all is well.
Oh, for God's sake.
If you're a parent, text them every 5 minutes. Put all the video cams Dawn, up there.
Dawn, have you called your children yet to make sure that they're up for school?
Maybe.
Speaking of that, I should be getting a text any minute. God. Mia's throwing a hissy fit this morning. You need to talk to her about it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, after the nap, post-school.
I like
so
that,
let's get into this.
I like that that your wife leans on you to be a bad cop.
Seriously, it's good.
Yeah,
it is my role. I relish it. I play that role well. And I don't care if the feelings are are hurt. As we've established here in almost 3 years. All right, so do we want to get an update on the poll, and then we'll take our guesses on Dawn?
So on YouTube right now, what age did Dawn finally leave her kids home alone? 10 to 12, 12 to 14, 14 to 16, and over 16. Over 16 is winning at 31%, just slightly edging out 12 to 14, which is 30%.
I'm going to say the leader you said is the oldest group, 31%?
Over 16, yeah.
I'm going to say that's wrong.
I would agree.
I'm going to guess what's the next one, 14 to 16?
Yep.
I'm going to say 14 to 16.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing.
Okay, well, then we're not going to have a bet. we push. That's fine. Dawn, are we correct?
I'm trying to remember.
Oh, jeez.
I'm teasing. No, I think actually it was more like 12.
Well, you're boys.
Yeah.
So you think the age should be a little lower for boys?
No.
Compared to girls?
No.
So
girls are, I think that if you have, first of all, if you have kids, maybe you have a boy and a girl,
yep.
The girl, wherever, if you leave the house, the girl is the one who's going to call you and tell on the boy and what he and his friends are doing. They're starting a fire in the house. So no, I think, I think that the biggest fear is not pedophilia in this one. It's starting a fire.
Property damage.
Honest to God, guys, I got off the bus at 10, 11 years old. I didn't go home. My parents had no idea where I was. Yeah. My parents weren't irresponsible. Trust me. My mom is one of the most responsible humans alive.
Mm-hmm.
But it just, you know.
Different time?
I was over at a friend's house. We were riding bikes. You know what I mean? Like, it never crossed my mom's mind if I didn't get off the bus and go straight home.
It's funny
ever.
You say that.
At 11 or 10, you know?
I was roughly 10 or 11. It would have been 94, 95. You know, Jimmy Kelly was in here, you know, and he was talking about it during the break. And my mother-in-law always brings this up. You know, she has actually the same mindset that Dawn has as far as, we live in a sick society. You didn't have to worry about. She'll talk about when she was coming home from school in the 70s that you didn't have to worry about being abducted with pedophiles. And my father never had to worry. And we were out playing until dark and things like that. You can't do that in this day and age. There's a lot of sick, twisted people out there, which I do think there is something to that. You know, times change. But we started this with our girls. Really, probably in the fall, they're 10. Once they turn 10, we now leave them for short periods. Like when we go to the grocery store and we make the round trip from, you know, Giant to Aldi, they'll be home alone on a Sunday morning around 10 o'clock for an hour, hour and a half.
Well, there's also two of them.
True.
So it's different. You know what I mean? And to Dawn's point, she has two boys, too. I think it's different when you have two kids. I was an only child. My son's an only child. So I didn't have the sibling to, like, kind of, you know, us both watch each other. Maybe one's a little bit more responsible than the other. It was all me.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like, and Dawn, you maybe you'll know this because you have both a bonus daughter and sons. I would say daughters, I feel, are more mature and responsible. Yet, the counter to that is from a being able to handle yourself in the event something goes wrong with an intruder, I feel like I'm more trustworthy of my boy, if I had a boy, versus having girls. Does that make sense? As far as maturity advantage females, but men or boys being able to physically fight back should somebody try to break in, rob the house, or break in and, you know, abduct and kidnap a child.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know that people worry when their kids are home. Are they going to be abducted if it's a single family home or even a row home? I don't know that that's as big an issue. I really think it's more of, are they going to leave the house and walk out on the street or try to, like, to Greg's point, walk to a friend's house? So if they're going to stay at home, can you trust them to just stay inside with the doors locked?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Well, I also.
The door's locked.
And it's good. Sorry.
And do you have a dog?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So for us, we've always had a big dog.
Right.
And so even if they're 11, 12 years old and a fenced-in yard and we have gates out front and we have a security system, so I'm like, you know what I mean? Nobody's going to come in that house with the big dog.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not it. It's really more, are they going to get into something? Are they going to invite friends over or go to a friend's house?
I actually worry.
Or start a fire?
I worry more about my kids at somebody else's house with their parents. So my daughters, about a week or two ago, right around the time that the Ritas started to open back up, they were at a friend's house.
Yeah.
And the parents were there. We knew that. And Mia sent my wife a text saying, we're going to walk and leave Reese's house and go get Rita's. And my wife, like, read the text out loud, and my first response is, well, wait a minute. Are the parents going with them? How far away is it? Now, I think it's about a block and a half. It's Whitpain Township. It's not a bad area. Mm-hmm. But I was against that. I'm like, no. My girls will be trying to do a TikTok on their phone in the middle of the street, not pay attention to traffic and look both ways, assuming they have to cross even a little neighborhood street and possibly get clipped by a car. I'm like, no, they're not walking by themselves. Not at 10 yet. I put my foot down.
Is it a busy street?
I mean, it's like, you know, it's back in a, you know, it's like you go across one little neighborhood street, you make a right, a left, you go cut through a yard, and then kaboom, Rita's on 202.
Guys, I'm not sitting here trying to be, you know, old man that yells a cloud, and I know I say that a lot, especially this week, but I left in the summertime. I left the house in the morning. I didn't come back until dinner time.
Yeah.
My family, my parents had no idea where I was. None. And, like, was I getting in trouble? Yeah, sometimes. But, like, you know, it was harmless fun. And again, I don't believe my parents were irresponsible. I just think that they trusted me. And I think that it was just like, kids need that. Kids need that sort of like, okay, we trust you. Because when you as a parent says that, then like, well, if they trust me, then I have to, you know, I should probably be be a good kid here, right? I don't know.
Right.
But I think to Nick's point about, I worry less about you. Probably, I worry less about your daughter seriously doing a TikTok video in the middle of the street. I think they're smart girls and they're good girls and they're not going to do that. The problem that I have on the streets that are, you know, somewhat busy streets. How many times have we reported on, especially people on a bicycle, but also running or walking outside, mm-hmm. even in a bike path?
Yeah.
And you have a distracted driver.
Yep.
On their phone. And they strike somebody. Mm-hmm. I worry more about that.
Yeah, I do too.
And we didn't have that back in the day.
I know. We have a lot of.
We didn't have any distracted driving. None.
Well, not like.
Not with the phone.
No, Greg, not like today. Not. I mean, people are on their phone. They're not watching. They're in and out of lanes or whatever.
Yeah. What distracted you back in the day? Changing the radio dial, I guess. I mean, nowadays, you can't do this as a little social experiment one day. One day when you're, you know, maybe going 25 miles an hour on the Schuylkill and you can actually take one eye off the road. Just look around as you're getting
people on their phones.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, we do have a state law. Jersey did it first. And Pennsylvania has it now on the Pennsylvania side that you cannot be holding your phone. But it's a relatively new law. And I think things have gotten better in Jersey.
You know how they,
it's a big ticket.
You know how they have the breathalyzers for the drunks that you can't start your car unless you blow and you're clean?
Yeah.
We ought to actually have some sort of technology, and I don't know, maybe people are going to say this is government overreach, but if it preserves lots of lives and reduces people's insurance rates, maybe it's worth it. I mean, you should not be able to physically operate a vehicle unless that phone is out of your hands. I know that's, like, ridiculous to say.
Waze will try to do that.
They'll try
to say, you know, find a safe spot, or they'll say, are you driving or are you a passenger?
Right. I mean, honestly, every text can wait, right? If it's an emergency call, I get it. So I understand the outlier situations, So don't start tweeting me. Well, what if your wife's pregnant and she calls you? You can't pick up the phone. I get it. The idea that you got to text your buddy WYD question mark while you're going 48 miles an hour, that probably could wait.
Don, you said when we teased this earlier that there are state laws about what ages. What are some of the ages? Like what's Pennsylvania's age? What's Jersey's age? Our listening area.
So most states just have a recommended home alone minimum age.
Can you imagine?
The only one that where it's the law, and this is interesting, North Dakota, the minimum age, home alone age is 9 in North Dakota. But most states, actually, the youngest that I see that's recommended is that they have to be at least 6 years old. That's Kansas, age 6.
Kansas does it right. Six sounds perfect to me.
Most states most states that I'm looking at are between 9 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as Maryland has a law that you have to be 8. Illinois, very blue, as you know. Illinois. Yep. The minimum home alone age is 14.
Oh, it's too high.
14?
14. No. Illinois, I was surprised by that one.
12 is justifiable.
I was probably riding my bike at 14, I don't know, 10, 15 miles.
You were smoking cigarettes and spray painting overpasses at 14.
What's weird to me is Pennsylvania, New Jersey. Pennsylvania and New Jersey don't have a recommended home alone age, and they don't have a minimum. They don't have a law. Oh, let's see. North Carolina, the minimum home alone age is 8.
The other thing, too,
most don't have a law.
Jimmy Kelly made a great point during the break. He said, you know, back in the day, if somebody did mess with a kid that was left alone or out on the street, like Greg, playing all day, the neighborhood and the community would come together and rally behind that person. Nowadays, what's the reaction? Not to really intervene, but to just start filming it on your phone.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, we're caught up in our own little world so much.
Yep.
As opposed to the Good Samaritan type thing.
I agree. I see kids when I go and pick up my son. I see kids in the neighborhood behind me out every day, especially when it's nice. There's like 6 of them playing basketball, and I'm just like, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
Yeah.
You know, I criticize this generation, and a lot of them need to be criticized, but like I like seeing that because that's all we did. Like, not just basketball, like that's all we did, pick up games of whatever.
Yeah.
And riding bikes and making forts.
Right. Let me grab Carl just to wrap up this conversation. He's in Stone Harbor. Carl, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I often kind of reflect that I grew up in Northeast Philly, all the way up by Our Lady of Calvary, which wasn't the worst part of the city by any means. But my kids have all grown up in Stone Harbor, and not that I'm like Mr. Street Smart guy, but my kids have no street smarts from Stone Harbor. And like my sister and I, we would take the SEPTA bus at 8, 9, 10 to go to school.
Yep.
And I still tell the story that my first concert was the Steve Miller Band at the Spectrum. And my mom and dad said, take the bus. And we would take the 66 bus to the L, to the Broad Street. And we went to the concert. And then we came home. And then we had, you know, walk from the 66 bus, you know, back to the house, which was 10 minutes. And it was just one thing that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, like today, if you do that, you put your kid on a SEPTA bus to go to Broad Street, like Dyfus is probably showing up at your house. So, and again, it's a different world. And again, I sometimes reflect. I know Stone Harbor's a good area to grow up in, but my kids have never taken a SEPTA bus in their life.
Yeah,
and they don't know what it's like. I mean, it's just craziness from that perspective.
It's
so.
Not. It's
and
not.
I appreciate you taking my call. Thank you.
It's not that it's a different. It's not that it's a different time. I mean, it is a different time, but statistically, we're the safest now we've ever been. Yes, Dawn, we're the safest now we've ever been. You can talk about shootings here, shootings there, but as a society, we are the safest we've ever been. But we treat it like around every corner, there's somebody that's going to do us harm. And I just don't think that, and look at that guy, Carl in Stone Harbor, you know, took the bus to see
Steve Miller,
and he has a house in Stone Harbor. Yeah. So obviously, he's a successful guy that did it right. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't stunt his growth. He didn't turn it into a hooligan or something. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, I feel like we have to just let kids be, you know, find it out on their own.
A friend of mine, Kat, loves to listen.
Yeah.
A local mom.
What's up, Kat?
And many nurse and a nurse as well. But she says one of my kids,
Kitty Cat,
she remembers calling the cops because he got scared.
Mm-hmm.
And the police searched every inch of their home. They live in Montgomery County. He was alone for 20 minutes at the age of 9. Still feels guilty about it. He's now in high school. Her daughter was afraid that clowns were coming to get her. After a move, but she's, you know, they have 6 kids, live in Montgomery County. So I think, you know, a lot of people have some funny stories, but, you know, that's just it. If one of you, I think there's a shame part of it.
Shame.
But God forbid, like, what if one of your kids calls the cops? You know, they're home, you run out, or you're 20 minutes, they're home alone, but they call the cops or they call the grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Nick, what if you and Kristen left the girls for 20 minutes? You just ran out for some. And then they call grandmom and say, we're home alone, we're scared. And then the whole family knows about it. So there's,
yeah,
like the shame factor.
Right, right. Well, I have no shame, and I left them for more than 20 minutes. I left them for 2 years.
Oh,
my God. All right, Kale and Company. Yeah, I take shots at myself sometimes, folks.
By the way, EKZ on the YouTube chat, this is going back to the Big Take.
Yeah.
He said, because of Nick's butchering of the English language, it should be called the Big Took.
The Big Took. Hey, if sales wants to sell it that way, I'll call it whatever the hell you'd like.
Tookany Creek.
That's right. All right, coming up next, Sean Farish. He is ready to go for a Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet, which will include John Fetterman and Stephanie Ruhle clashing over the oligarchs.
I also want to ask him real quick before we get into the cut sheet how old he was when he first was left home alone.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Growing up there on the mean streets of Long Island.
That's right. Nassau County. I hear it's rough on those streets. Back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
A couple hours.
You know, because sometimes, I mean, I would come home from school maybe and both parents would be working.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, but it wouldn't be for long.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they'll come home. My sister was in school, so they'd come home, grab her. They'd go do something. It wasn't for like days, mm-hmm. You know, or like a long time.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of children out there that probably, you know, you get home at 3:30 or 3:45, and mom and dad get home at 5:15 or 5:30. You have an hour and a half. You eat your snack, you start your homework or whatever it is, and then, you know, the parents come in, and then it's the whole routine and process in the nighttime. That probably, I bet you that for me probably started at 9 or 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I mean, I turned out okay.
Maybe. Exactly.
Maybe. Sure.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, I think that's up for debate. Depends on who you ask. But yeah,
definitely,
you know.
Definitely. All right, let's get down to business. 7:52. What is on that Thursday cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet on this Thursday? Sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. And their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. That's Meineke.com. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring the ever-important Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Guys and gal, I don't know if you've heard, Michelle Obama has joined the podcast ranks.
Yes.
All right. The Big Mike Pod.
Wonderful.
Yeah. With her brother.
With her brother, Craig Robinson. Come on, Craig.
As my wife said, hey, that's two dudes doing a podcast. So. I didn't say it.
I didn't know. I never knew her brother was Bobby Lashley.
I got to tell you guys, YouTube.com/at1210WPHD to see this. Like, her brother looks like Michelle without hair.
They're both bigger than Barry.
Oh, my God. I'm not trying to be mean. But
no, if I ever launch a podcast, I can guarantee you the podcast will not be co-hosted by my sister. I'm just saying.
But I think the bigger point of this podcast, because I did watch part of it,
uh-oh,
it's really boring.
Oh, is it?
Yes. That.
Of course it is.
Did you think it was going to be entertaining?
Michelle Obama.
Yeah, but she's, behind the scenes, like... You know what I mean? Like, Nick and his sister, Erin, I would be more interested in because, you know what I mean?
You think she's going to choke me 90 seconds in?
No, I just think that, I don't know, it's just boring. I mean, for like, if I would never do a podcast with my brother John because he would tell stuff. Do you know what I mean? I think if you're doing a podcast with your sibling,
yeah,
it has to be edgy in the sense that, because I thought, oh, her brother's going to tell some stuff. You know what I mean?
Look at these two. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm just looking at the...
Look at his head.
Yeah.
But the brother is like, I don't... It's just the biggest problem of this that I can say, it's boring.
So in their first, second episode, they talked about friendship and divorce.
Oh, so the rumors are true.
She didn't address the divorce rumors with Barack.
Oh.
She says, quote, this podcast will leave you reflecting, laughing, and feeling more prepared to tackle life's biggest questions.
Oh.
The pair started the podcast to share all of their advice.
And look, we apologize in advance if you're bored by this clip because Dawn saw it and it's bad.
Roll it.
Hey, TikTok, it's Michelle Obama, and I'm here with my big brother, Craig.
Craig.
Hey, everybody. We're here because we're excited to announce the launch of our new podcast.
Hang on, pause it. Pause it.
What? Stop.
I'm just looking.
Just talk about the content.
No.
Don't talk about the content. I want to know what's on your mind right now. I want to know what's on your mind.
This is the content. We are the content.
I'm looking. Right. I mean, people have said that Michelle Obama may be a man.
Yeah.
I think if you take that hair off, that's what she looks like.
Because you mentioned like life's biggest questions.
Yes.
And I was about to ask, is one of life's biggest questions, what is her biological gender?
No.
Yes, I don't know because you look at them because
I got to ride with Dawn here on this one.
I'm going to say this.
Yes.
The case could be made.
No.
I'm sorry. You know I'm juvenile. I like all this stuff.
Listen, I'll even go this far. You know, the Supreme Court didn't want to hear the election fraud case because they said there was no standing. They're standing in this case.
The biggest problem for this podcast, first viewing, they had like less 25,000 or less views on it.
Uh-oh.
That's not good.
Not
yikes.
You'll
still see people who are like, oh, she's running for president. Uh-huh. If she can't get 25,000 views on YouTube,
you're in trouble.
She's not
running for president. I'll tell you right now, if we have a slow day in 2027, I might throw that out as a topic.
Shafe says twin dudes.
Wow.
I don't know that. We don't know that. We're just speculating. All right,
we're just asking questions.
That's what we do here. roll it, Phil.
And Craig Robinson.
We started talking about this at the outset, why we're doing this show.
Yeah.
You know, post White House and writing the books and doing book tours, speaking at leadership conferences, things you do as a coach, you realize that what we have, even in our lack of resources, you know, in our household growing up, we had people who would share their opinions, give us advice. We had mentors and we were used to mentoring
mentors. This is boring.
And I realize that a lot of people don't have that. You know, they don't have a safe place to come sometimes.
Right.
Where they feel comfortable being vulnerable and asking hard questions, or they don't have people in their lives they trust. They are lone wolves, or maybe they have contentious.
I love how everybody thinks this job is easy.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
What?
Mike Lindell should sponsor their podcast.
This segment brought to you by MyPillow.
Sure. He should. Mike Lindell should just get in there did this put you to sleep?
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. He's Craig. By the way, Craig Robinson is the brother.
Right.
And so.
By the way, EKZ says Big Mike and her brother compared sizes back in the day. I don't know if that's true or not.
Game of Swords.
I'm just asking questions. We're just asking questions.
The other thing that I noticed about it, and I didn't see the full episode, because I lost interest, I thought, well, they seem like her brother seems like a really nice guy. They seem like nice people, and they're
always looking for the silver lining and something.
But it's just boring.
Yeah, but nice doesn't sell podcast subscriptions, right?
Well, I mean, but I will say this, that she also seemed particularly kind of negative on her husband.
Well, yeah,
that was another thing I noticed. I was like,
it's over.
Well, he showed up at the LA Clippers game over the weekend by himself.
Oh. So. It's always amazing where he is. She's always on a yacht in another country or out at sea or hanging by the beach. You never really see them together too often.
Phil, just one more time. Can you just, you don't have to play the audio. Just start from the very beginning with the photo of the two. Yeah, you don't have to play the audio. Just put that up on the screen, if you will.
There we go. You're so juvenile. Now you know the few trolls on Twitter are going to come out there. Would you have any substance?
Sorry.
They look... I don't... The Craig looks like more of a woman than she does. I got to be honest.
They have the big expressive eyes.
Yeah.
But I will say that Craig, it looks like... I don't know if he's... He's been married twice, has four children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm.
And then, obviously, the Obamas have two daughters.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don.
Well,
I'm just saying, there's a big family resemblance there.
You
big
think?
Resemblance. Well, totally. You totally. Big. When you see them, you know they're brother and sister. Yeah. 100. And they're obviously close, which is really sweet. You would just think, like my brother John, can I tell you something? If I ever went on the air, if you think I'm conservative, he's like 20 feet right of me.
Wow.
He calls my husband, who's a conservative, a liberal. You know what I mean? And so, but my brother would, he would tell stories about me that I would never want out there.
Yeah.
So that's the fear, right? You have that tension with your sibling that they're going to tell something that you did that when you were teenagers and maybe.
Yeah, but it's not live, right? The podcast isn't live. No. So if some embarrassing story comes out, they chop it up.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's not
that like would it's probably on, be the highlight. But it would be the, believe me, if my brother called
in but
right
if it's
now,
something like, that, if it's something that, you know, Michelle. Doesn't want out,
just edit. Just do a little editing like CBS did with Kamala for 60 minutes and then come
on. Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying they would tell like things that you did when you were juveniles, you were teenagers, and maybe one of you had too much to drink, and you know what I mean?
But you know what?
It would be funny.
I won't
watch an episode of the Mike podcast, the Michelle podcast, but I will. I would watch maybe one or two episodes of Kamala and Dougie just to see how many Doritos they eat.
Just going to bring up Kamala. Now, just based on that very small clip that we actually heard and played, isn't it amazing to me that think about how, can we, you know what? Can we just go back and play a little bit more of it? I want to just play Michelle for the sake of this point here.
Play
Sean mentioned about Michelle and running again in 2028.
Play the podcast part.
Yeah, play the actual podcast part. Let's just give me like 20 seconds of Michelle here.
All right, Phil, go.
We had people who would share their opinions, mm-hmm. give us advice. We had mentors, and we were used to mentoring and being mentored. And I realize that a lot of people don't have that, you know, they don't have a safe place mm-hmm. to come sometimes
right.
where they feel comfortable.
All right, just stop it right there. Now, she sounds, don't judge this as a podcast.
Yep.
Just from a speaking standpoint, relatively smooth delivery, right?
I hear what you're saying.
Yep. Now, think about all the times we have played Kamala and how we're like, what the hell did she just say? Why is she saying it in this tone? What's up with the weird cackle? I mean, everything that Kamala lacked from a public presentation standpoint, Michelle Obama, and this is a compliment to her, but it's not really that high up because it's hard to really go. You can't get any lower than Kamala, right? Like, she would have been so much better if they actually inserted her on July 21st and Kamala Harris. I think they tried to tell us that Kamala was like Michelle Obama. I still believe this to this day, would have given a bigger, I don't know that Trump sweeps the 7 swing states if it's Michelle Obama as opposed to Kamala Harris. I really don't. People might want to disagree on that. That's fine. We could debate it. She would have been far better as the Democrats' late inning substitution than Kamala Harris. I think you're right about that.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Because Kamala's never been popular ever. And when everyone said she was popular, she wasn't. She wasn't actually popular. It was all astroturf.
It's true.
But Michelle Obama was always one of those, like, when they would float out, oh, who's going to be the replacement? She was always, you know, close to the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
Kamala was obvious because she's the vice president at that point,
right?
But Michelle Obama was always next, and she wasn't even in politics, and it always expressed that she didn't want to do it. right? And people still wanted her to do it.
Yeah. Right.
So had it been Michelle Obama, you know, it would that would have been more noteworthy than Kamala Harris, I think, and would have been a tougher competition.
Plus, I think she's
got a name, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. Well, she has a brand, right? She has that Obama brand. Kamala doesn't have a brand.
Duffy Domino on the YouTube chat says Michelle would have won.
I don't know if I would go that far.
I don't think so.
I don't go. No, not if she was the late scratch in July. Would she have had a shot if she was the nominee for 18 months and won a primary? You know, if the Democrats did not subvert democracy and install a candidate?
Yeah.
It's possible.
Not if on the campaign trail she's talking about her safe space.
No.
I just think that doesn't
I don't think. I don't think the messaging would have won her the.
True.
I don't think the messaging would have won. I think, you know, because what they were running on really is what. And if you think people went hard on Kamala Harris, they would have went. I mean, the folks that didn't like her would have gone nuts on Michelle.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I think. I think if she did run, I think she still loses. But I think it's closer. I think you're right. Maybe Trump doesn't win the popular vote and 5 out of 7 swing states, or maybe just, you know, he gets Georgia, Pennsylvania, maybe not. I don't know.
Yep.
But I think he wins. But I think it's closer than Kamala, for sure.
All right, I'm
but
all mic'd
brother-
out.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, I'm all done with Mike. But you go ahead, Don.
No, I would say with Michelle Obama, I think a piece of this, she's talking about a safe space, but she's trying to be too safe in this. And so it becomes generic. Her brother, Craig, is actually an interesting guy. Morgan Stanley, business degree. You know what I mean? Like, ask your brother, say, let's get to know my brother. You guys know me because I was in the White House for, you know, blah, blah, blah. But he worked for the Milwaukee Bucks. He was a coach. He's worked in the financial world. He worked for the New York Knicks. You know what I mean? So talk, like, find out the nitty gritty of that. But it's boring.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of bigger people, Rosie O'Donnell was brought up in the Oval Office.
Sure.
Yesterday. Oh my God.
In the Oval Office
so
yesterday.
Funny.
So Trump was with the Ireland, what is he, the prime minister, the president? Like, what's the title?
Proper term.
Yeah, what's the title for?
Good question. I don't know.
President of Ireland?
The head of Ireland.
Was. I don't
prime minister?
Yeah. Was it prime minister, I think.
Leprechaun?
Yeah. I don't think
she knows who Rosie is.
So a reporter asked about Rosie O'Donnell leaving because Ireland was represented yesterday. Rosie O'Donnell leaving the United States and going to Ireland. And this is what he said.
Ireland is known for very happy, fun-loving people, great attitude, many in this room right now that I've met. Why in the world would you let Rosie O'Donnell move to Ireland? I think she's going to lower your happiness level.
Thank you. I like that question.
Mr. Prime Minister, are you expecting? Are you expecting?
Do you know who she is?
Yes.
You better off not knowing. You better off not knowing.
President Trump.
Sean Farish, I will tee you up for this one. You can respond as yourself, or you can respond as 47.
Well, first, I want to say that the guy who asked that question is Brian Glenn from, I don't know what outlet he's with now. He's been with a bunch. But that guy is the same guy who asked Zelensky about whether or not he wore a suit. And I don't like Brian Glenn. I think he's a clown. I think it would be nice if we, you know, on the right, who say the Oval Office is not a place for games, stop playing games in the Oval Office, asking stupid questions to world leaders. I just, you know, maybe that's me at all. Oh, well, aren't you a comedian? We're not supposed to be asking the Irish prime minister jokes, and we're not supposed to be trying to pick fights with Zelensky. I'm not defending Zelensky, but, you know, you got the president of Ukraine in the Oval Office, and, you know, then we're talking about ending a war, and you ask him, well, do you own a suit? I mean, why don't you, Brian Glenn, who happens to be Marjorie Taylor Greene's boyfriend, which explains a whole hell of a lot, why don't you grow up and do your job? You're in the Oval Office. I could have asked a better question.
Yeah, that's
and
a good. No, I like that. That's a good take.
I wouldn't have been in there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been in there. I don't want to go to D.C.
Right.
But, you know, there's a lot of people who would kill to be in his position and not ask a stupid question.
Yeah, limited
like
time.
Like what Brian Glenn did.
Right.
You know?
Setting,
I mean, that's
place.
Not. Yeah, time and place. And I'm a class clown, you guys know.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not. You know, but now, the Rosie question, I'm not as upset with, but the fact that Brian Glenn did it, now we see a theme. So we know exactly what he's going to do with every, it's going to be his thing. It's going to be his brand. That's going to be, you know, the kayfabe that he's got to keep up now when he's in the, when he's in the, when he's in the Oval Office. Here comes a stupid question. So I am not, I am hereby nominating Brian Glenn for fake news tool bag of the year.
Yeah. Wow.
He is now, he is now competing with David Muir, who put the clothespins on the fire jacket earlier in the year with the, yeah, he's competing. So now we have two. We have him. We have Muir. I'd say Muir is still leading, but we have a lot more stupid questions coming out of Brian Glenn, I'm sure, for the rest of the year. That guy's an absolute tool. However, the Rosie question, I will give him this, was funny, and Trump's response saved it.
Yes.
But look, I put the video up yesterday about Rosie O'Donnell.
So good.
We're going to, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do 4,000% tariffs. If you send her back, we're going to do 4,000%. But sir, they're going to, she's going to cause another famine. I can't believe it. You know, it's, I think Trump's response was good. I think, you know, maybe my response might have been better, but yeah. I think Trump's response was good. And it saved it. And I'm tired of Brian Glenn. I think he's a clown. Yeah. I think he's, you know, go to the sports world and look at guys like a Skip Bayless or something who just acts out so we talk about him. You know, and he got his clip out. It's viral. People are laughing. Ha ha. But like the next time Brian Glenn asks a substantive question in the Oval Office will be the first time. And that's a problem.
The Babylon Bee wrote a headline yesterday. Ireland capsizes after arrival of Rosie O'Donnell.
That's not right.
Oh, my goodness.
Trump clowned J.D. Vance for his socks, his leprechaun socks. Or no, his four-leaf clover socks, excuse me. We have Trump talking about it, just kind of, you know, mocking JD for it, and then we have a picture of the socks. So let's play Trump clowning first. Roll it.
I have to speak of inflation. I love these socks.
President Trump.
I'm trying to stay focused, but I'm nervous.
His socks, Phil. Then, if you can put up the picture, shamrocks on there.
This is reminiscent of Dawn outing me for my bad suit at Piazza in December.
It wasn't a bad suit.
It was an adjustable waistband suit. I'm a schlub.
Cucks.
So I can't take shots at J.D. Vance's sock game because my sock game's not great either.
I like the
I
socks.
Think the sock game was fine.
I
it's,
do
we're
too.
Close to St. Patrick's Day. You
yep.
got the Irish guy, you know, the prime minister or whatever, the prime leprechaun in the office, and you got the socks on. It's
agreed.
Fine.
The
agreed.
Shoes are a little low energy, though, are they not?
Yeah, boy, black shoes.
But not even a shine to them? Nothing? I don't know.
Hillbilly energy.
That's very rural Ohio-ish.
Yeah.
That's his brand.
I thought it was interesting that Trump made that the sock remark when he did. So he was asked about the tariffs, and one of the answers was he's talked about, even though he has great respect for Ireland, he says, like, basically they're ripping him off.
Yep.
They're ripping us off, too.
We'll get to all that, by the way.
And then,
have all that stuff, yeah.
But it was like, I think Trump felt like he wanted, because you hear him say something about inflation. I think he doesn't really want to talk about the inflation stuff because that's the point when the economic stuff came up that he diverted to. That's the point that he chose to go, oh, look at the socks.
Yeah.
Well, it's also,
I mean?
I also think it shows you that at 78, we actually have a president that's cognitive enough to pivot and has the wit and the ability to go off script. Joe Biden could not do that. Kamala Harris damn sure could not do that. And people actually are sitting there giggling over it, which is pretty good. So there's your.
I think Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I think Joe Biden would have sniffed his feet.
Yeah.
Look at our socks.
Name me a time.
He was asked about Apple and, you know, basically saying that he's not happy with the European Union. This is cut nine, Phil.
Roll it. Yeah, please go ahead.
Mr. President, should Apple go back to the U.S. tomorrow?
Who?
Apple.
Oh, Apple's been treated very badly. Look, Apple had tremendously bad luck. I thought they had a very good lawsuit, but they lost.
We fought with them.
$16 billion. $16 billion, and they're after a lot of our American companies. See, that's what's unfair. It's a European Union. I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming the European Union. The European Union's gone after our companies. And Apple's a great company, and they have to give $16, $17 billion on a lawsuit that I didn't think was a good lawsuit. No, the European, we have a problem with the European Union. They don't take our farm products. They don't take our cars. We take millions of cars, BMWs and Mercedes-Benz and Volkswagens and everything. We take millions of cars.
All available, Piazza.
I said to Angela Merkel at the time, I said, Angela, how many Chevrolets do we have in the middle of Munich? Why, none. I said, you're right, we have none. That's the way it is, we have none. I'm not happy with the European Union, I want to tell you. And, we're going to win that. We're going to win that financial battle.
It's a financial battle. European cars, Mr. President? Tariffs on European cars? Is that something you're going to consider?
Oh, absolutely. I will do that. Yeah.
You know what's amazing is when we talk about Trump and his ability to just sit there and tell you the obvious stuff that a lot of us don't know, the Democrats get so angry. Like, Trump's sitting here saying, we as a country, you as a citizen, are on the wrong end of a business deal. I'm going to publicly say that and do what I can to try to make a wrong a right. And people get offended by that and then start hooting and hollering over it. Like, I really do feel like we live in a divided country of Republicans love their country and want what's best for America. And the Democrats' disdain for America, just not every Democrat. I don't want to just lump everybody in. But the progressives out there, I mean, Trump could legitimately say today is Thursday. They're going to disagree. They're going to argue and tell you why he's wrong and why it's bad. It's really a hell of a hill to die on. And, Sean, I don't know if you saw this. The Democrat approval rating nationwide right now as a party is 27%.
Yep, I did see that. And their internal polling shows an entire brand collapse, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
In other words, people are looking at it and going, oof, I don't want one of those. You know, you had a bad experience with a particular brand and you say, I'm never buying that again, right?
Bill Maher's coming out saying the Democrats will never win another election.
I mean, and this is what I'm saying. We have a year and a half, right, before the 2026 midterms. And people are like, no, you're putting the cart before the horse. No, because we got a little branding problem in some cases on the right as well, with a lot of anti-Semitism and a lot of this. Now we have people on the right sticking up for this Mahmoud Khalil. It comes to the country, chants death to America. We get upset with him saying death to America. And they're like, oh, you just can't criticize Israel. And I'm like, it has nothing to do with Israel. It has everything to do with the fact that this guy aligns with a terror group that wants me to die. So I'd like him out of the country because he's not a citizen. Right. And I think we have a problem on our side as well, where, you know, we've embraced free speech and that's great. But they're like, well, all speech is free speech. And I'm a free speech absolutist, too. But when you start calling for the deaths of people, it's kind of like, hey, maybe that's not free and we shouldn't be doing that. We have to be careful not to make the same mistake. I think those of us on the right see there's a rot in our party. There is. There's a group of people in, you know, on our side of the aisle that have gone off the deep end. And if we refuse to call it out the same way the left refused to call out their wild people who said men can be women and unrestricted abortions and open borders and high taxes and all this radical stuff, we're going to wind up in the same position 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. So we got a year and a half. We got a year and a half to, you know, tighten our ship. And I think it's pretty tight. And I think we're in a great position. But a lot can happen in the year and a half. The Democrats they're in a bad position right now. And think about this. Minnesota, Michigan, New Hampshire. Three Democrat senators yesterday announced that they are not seeking reelection in 2026. Mm-hmm. Those are states that were pretty close. Minnesota was even close. But Michigan's a swing state. New Hampshire is pretty close. And if you know and remember what just happened recently, okay, in the Democrat Party, they got new leadership, which means David Hogg and those people are going to be vetting the replacements. So I'm licking my lips,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm licking my lips. I'm going, wow. You know, John Idzik is in charge of the draft for the Jets. They're going to suck for another 5 years because that guy's abominable, yeah. Right? You gave him 13 picks and nobody made the roster.
Right.
So it's like, you know, it's one of those things where, okay, those are the guys who are going to be picking the replacements. Great. I just don't want us to get complacent, right? Like, the Democrats have a low approval now, but they're not just going to lay down, right? Now, are they going to double down on the stupidity? Fine. I hope that we understand that 2026 is ripe for the taking. We could buck the historical trends because then we essentially extend Donald Trump's term by 2 years.
Yeah. But I could ask you something.
It goes from 2 years to 4 years.
I could ask you something, Sean Farish, and that is, you said that it's a problem for somebody who is accused of breaking the law, with regard to spreading propaganda that's pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist. This is Mahmoud Khalil. So why is that bad for Republicans?
It's not bad for Republicans.
Okay,
it's people
bad for them.
That it's bad for, there are folks who call themselves Republicans and call themselves America First and themselves Trump supporters and then go, well, this guy, because here's the thing, right? This is the way a lot of these people operate. And a lot of them on the internet use a fake name.
Yep.
They think they're tough and then they're not. And it's a whole thing. They go out and they say America's controlled by Israel. They're upset. They don't like Israel. They don't like Jews. I don't know what their problem is. I don't know if they stepped on a Lego and thought a rabbi did it. I have no idea. Right. I can't get inside their heads. It's wild. OK, but they look at a guy like Mahmoud Khalil and they say, no, he should be allowed. He should not be deported and he should be allowed to stay. It doesn't matter that he said death to America. He dunked on Israel. Therefore, he is good. Right. Therefore, he is. And in that regard, look, if you have criticisms about another country, I don't really care. Criticize anybody you want. Criticize my country. Criticize. Do not call for death to America when you've been given the privilege of studying at what is considered one of our finest universities. So I think it's a problem that he's doing this. Mm-hmm. You think it's a problem that he's doing this. A lot of people with common sense go, yeah, that guy's aligning with terrorists. That's an issue. But this segment of the right, I call it the right with air quotes. We call them the woke right because they are woke, right? These are people that this segment, and it is growing. They are gaining momentum. You got this clown with the mustache, Ian Carroll. I don't know whose mustache is worse, him or John Bolton. You have Jake Shields who's been hitting the head far too many times. I think a mailbox could hold a more intelligent conversation. Candace Owens is out there blaming Israel for literally sitting in traffic.
Yep.
You know, you got Tate in all of his problems. You got this guy, Myron Gaines, which isn't even his name. He says that's a stage name. What is this, Romeo and Juliet? We have a stage name now, right? He's Andrew Tate on Temu, if you look at it. These are people that are leading a very concentrated movement to, they say they're America First, and then this guy comes in there and claims, you know, death to America, and they're saying good thing. Wow, nice, because he dunked out. How could you hold both positions at the same time?
You
gotta answer me that. How could you be America First and then defend somebody who hates America? Right. Well, I'm defending his right to speak. Well, I'm defending our country's right to kick him out of the country because what he's doing and the protests that he's leading and the actions that are stemming from his actions are a violation of his green card. And he has to go. 19 lawyers are defending this kid.
I know.
19 lawyers. So do you mean to tell me that this is organic? 19 lawyers. Now, the guy had British security clearance. It's organic.
No.
But you have people on our side who are defending him. Or they claim to be on our side.
Well, they claim to be on our side. And I think here's the piece that's different, Sean, that I will say. The Trump administration is just saying that the First Amendment does not allow any of us or any person on a green card or special visa or whatever to violate the law. And you can't use the First Amendment as some kind of a big shield. This guy was, they say that he was, they can prove, they have tangible evidence that he was spreading propagandist, pro-Hamas, pro-terrorism material. That is that's against the law, period. It's against the law. And especially if you're somebody with a visa, boot him. You're out of here. So that's what the Trump administration says. I hope that this tiny little contingent of kooks on the far, far, far right, I hope to God that they don't somehow hijack the image of all of us.
Since this is the
that's what I'm nervous about, Dawn. That's what I'm nervous about, because the left allowed the crazies on their side to run things
for a point.
Yep.
And look at what happened to them. So I'm looking at it going, oh, no, 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 no. I am not letting the people who praise Adolf Hitler, I'm not letting them run my party. There's not a chance in hell. You know, not a chance. Oh, well, then these are the ones who say, well, we're just asking questions. No, you're not asking questions. There are posts of them saying, oh, Hitler wasn't a bad dude. What? Yes, he was. I thought that was something that we could agree on.
Right, right.
You know? Well, he was just an artist who was misunderstood.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hunter Biden was an artist, too.
It is funny.
Right, yeah.
It is funny, Sean, when you call out Tates or any of these bottom feeders, you always get hit. And I saw one of your posts the other day. You always get hit with a derogatory word for a gay person and a Jew.
Oh, it's all every time. Every time. It's, I learn more about myself from these people than I could ever, like, if I was, you know, like, ever. It's, it is, but you know why we do it? And it's not just me. There's a lot of people who do it. Because then I take those posts and I send it and I say, these are the people I'm talking about and you don't want them running your ship.
Yep.
And they go, oh, yeah, you're right. Wow, that is pretty bad company. So this is why I do like free speech. And I love the fact that X lets anybody basically say whatever they want because expose yourself.
Yep.
By all means, keep talking. Sunlight. You know, a guy like Tate who admits to things that you shouldn't be doing and he keeps doing that, you know? My buddy was on Piers Morgan the other day talking about this with some guy from the mob. And the guy was, hey, I went on trial five times in the Tate case. There's no evidence. And I was like screaming. Ask him how many times the mob guy was on camera saying, you know, I whacked Johnny behind the pizza store. You know, like, Tate is admitting to the crimes.
Yes.
You know, so, and this is what I'm saying. I don't want those people.
Yep.
I don't want those people hijacking Dawn said. I don't want those people hijacking and running into the ground everything we just worked so hard to build.
Yep.
And I think we're smarter than the left. I think we will call it out. These are the people who melted down over the H-1B visa thing. Like, well, we have to have none. And they're arguing now for Mahmoud Khalil to stay.
What?
Think about
it. It's crazy.
Okay?
So since this is theoretically the cut sheet, let me play Marco Rubio talking about what Sean and Dawn are talking about. The Mohammed Khalil situation. This is what he said from the administration's point of view. Roll it.
When you come to the United States as a visitor, which is what a visa is, which is how this individual entered this country, on a visitor's visa, okay, you are here as a visitor. We can deny you that visa. We can deny you that if you tell us when you apply, hi, I'm trying to get into the United States on a student visa. I am a big supporter of Hamas, a murderous, barbaric group that kidnaps children, that rapes teenage girls, that takes hostages, that allows them to die in captivity, that returns more bodies than live hostages. If you tell us that you are in favor of a group like this, and if you tell us when you apply for your visa, and by the way, I intend to come to your country as a student and rile up all kinds of anti-Jewish student, anti-Semitic activities. I intend to shut down your universities. If you told us all these things when you applied for a visa, we would deny your visa. I hope we would. If you actually end up doing that, once you're in this country on such a visa, we will revoke it. And if you end up having a green card, not citizenship, but a green card as a result of that visa while you're here in those activities, we're going to kick you out. It's as simple as that. This is not about free speech. This is about people that don't have a right to be in the United States to begin with. No one has a right to a student visa. No one has a right to a green card, by the way.
Boom.
So when you apply for a student visa or any visa to enter the United States, we have a right to deny you for virtually any reason. But I think being a supporter of Hamas and coming into our universities and turning them upside down and being complicit in what are clearly crimes of vandalization, complicit in shutting down learning institutions. There are kids at these schools that can't go to class. You pay all this money to these high-priced schools that are supposed to be of great esteem, and you can't even go to class. You're afraid to go to class because these lunatics are running around with covers on their face, screaming terrifying things. If you told us that's what you intended to do when you came to America, we would have never let you in. And if you do it once you get in, we're going to revoke it and kick you out.
Boom. I love it.
Oh, I mean, you can't say it any better.
Yeah, what a perfect statement, right?
It really was perfect.
If you think about that, you're here on a visa as a visitor. You're a guest. It's a privilege. It's not a right. And you're saying, I'm coming here to be a student to get an education. No, you're not an activist. I'm not saying you don't have free speech rights. You do. But there's a line where you can't be rooting for and championing the causes of the extermination. And that's really what it is. Hitler tried to do that 75, 80 years ago. Hamas and all these other terrorist organizations that have gone off the deep end with their religion, you know, the belief of, you know, God wants me to kill everybody that values Western values and civilization. It's and the left. Think about this, Sean and Dawn. Their messaging and their morals are so misguided that they are supporting this cause while simultaneously accusing Trump of being Hitler. I mean, think about it. Trump's trying to get peace and protect, yet they're claiming he's Hitler, which Hitler's MO was the complete opposite, which they adhere to by supporting Hamas. It's like a Kamala Harris Venn diagram of goofiness. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, think of it this, right? Okay, so to Rubio's comment, because Rubio, I think that was a perfect statement. But let's even take it even more relatable to the American people. I don't offer visas, right? But if any of us right now, anybody listening, needs your house painted, and you talk to a painter, and the painter says, I'm going to come into your house with paint and destroy your home. You're not hiring that painter, right? You're not giving him permission to enter your home,
nope.
Right? Now, if you hire this painter, I'm going to do a great job. You walk in, and the painter is destroying your home. Are you going to let him destroy more of your home, or are you going to get him the hell out? It's that simple, right? Hey, you're not doing the job I hired you to do. Leave, okay? It's really, when you bring it down, you could bring it down. The border is the same thing. We did it with the left. Do you lock your doors in your house? Yes. Why? Do you hate everybody on the outside of your house? No. Why do you lock your doors? To stay safe. Cool. Now apply that to the border. It's very simple stuff, okay? you know, and then you can apply the border to men and women's restrooms. Well, why don't we want men and women's restrooms? Well, because you're giving more access to potential predators to their prey. Okay. So now you have a wide open border. You don't think terrorists are going, hey guys, the border's wide open, let's go in, right? You think they're all just going to ignore that and not seize that opportunity? Of course not. So when you come up with these student visas, you have these guys with these student visas who are telling you they're coming here to study, and then they come here and they're not studying, or maybe they are studying, but they're also engaged in illegal destructive activity, yeah. Destabilizing your institutions, destabilizing and dividing society, they have to leave. That is the painter who said, I'm going to come in, I'm going to do a great job. You walked in and there's paint all over your couch. Get out. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple.
Yes,
you have to, and you have to make an example out of this guy. Or else more of them are going to do it.
That's right. Set a precedent. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Cut Sheet with Sean Farish, Dawn Stensland, and myself and Greg Stocker. We'll continue on the other side. But first, a word from our friends at Natural Lawn of America, because it's that time of year you might be in the market looking for a lawn care service. So I think it makes perfect sense to hire a company that provides better results while simultaneously being safe for your family and your pets. That's why I chose Natural Lawn of America, because they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. But don't just take our words for it. Join the growing number of homeowners that are switching today to Natural Lawn's safer services. Here's what you do. Schedule your Natural Lawn full service program today, and you're going to get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn today at 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding. You've heard me talk about them for years now. Your home is really one of, if not the most important investment. So if you're thinking about redoing your siding, right now is the perfect time. If you notice maybe any wear and tear, maybe some mold, some buckling or peeling, that does indicate your home is being exposed to the elements. Many people don't realize siding, it's not just for the beauty, for the curb appeal. It also acts as a protective barrier against all the harsh weather of all seasons. So whether you want fiber cement siding or vinyl siding, Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding carries only the best brands, including James Hardy, as well as CertainTeed. Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, always going the extra mile. I can tell you this. They're going to work with you on all the different styles, all the different options that best fit your home. And they complete every single project with such care, such precision, and such professionalism. Everything's in writing. Everything's up front so that you get exactly what you want and what you pictured. You can experience the Chapman difference today. You can call. You can text. They're local. They're like-minded. 610-431-8898. 610-431-8898. Take a virtual tour online. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. You can see all the before and afters. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dolan sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Remind me never to hire Robert as a consultant.
Sorry.
What works?
So you said that there was an article about this on USA Today that was saying that the Eagles are on the wrong side of history?
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed.
I'm shocked. USA Today is usually very objective. I'm just so totally, I mean, I didn't see that coming from them. Huh?
Yeah.
I see Phil trying to get that photo up, but it's all good. So let's see, where do I want to, should I do Tom Homan?
I mean, I would do Tom Homan right now. Terminator. There's nobody I'd rather do more than Tom Homan today.
Tom Homan had a press conference yesterday, and it was pretty epic. I mean, he just went off as he does. There's also a shot of him coming out, and like people are heckling him and protesting, and he's just eating an apple. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't give a flying you know what.
No, that's what Lapolliere did in Canada. Yeah. Remember that video?
Yeah. Let's start, actually, Phil, with Cut 13. Wait, hang on. YouTube.com/NWPHD if you want to see the video. That's amazing.
Keith Martin wins Twitter today.
YouTube.com.
He does look like Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, he does.
For those who don't know who Bobby Lashley is, a UFC MMA guy, also a WWF wrestler.
Yeah.
Big, massive. Everything about him is massive because he's juiced out of his skull. Yep. But I think his head actually got bigger like Barry Bonds.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Phil. Good job with that.
That's good.
Always kind of funny. All right. Let's get back to business. Tom Homan. Discuss those people who are... We played the clip the other day of an NBC reporter, I think, asking about child separation. Because now that the border... the border is becoming more secure. Everybody's worried, and people are going back to where they came from. People mm-hmm. are worried about child separation.
Yep.
He had an answer for that. This is Cut 13, Phil. Go.
No, I always hear all the time, family separation, Homan's a godfather, family separation. Let me be clear. Zero tolerance is about saving lives. But we figure we start prosecuting people who violate the law and put the children in harm's way, maybe they stop coming. And they did. Numbers went down. It's unfortunate families got separated. But it happens to American families every day. It's going to happen in Albany today that American family will be separated by law enforcement because the child can't go to jail with the parent. But you want to talk about family separation? 500,000 children on Joe Biden were trafficked into this country. They can't find 300,000 of them. That's a separation. But you know what President Trump's committed? We're going to find them, and we're going to save them, because many children are in forced labor, many children are in forced sex slavery. We're going to save them, this administration.
Lots to like about the Trump administration 7 weeks in, but I don't think if you were to power rank what you like the most versus who's kind of disappointed, I would put Pam Bondi at the bottom. I'd put Tom Homan at the top. You can rank everything else you want in between, but to me, Homan gets the one seed. Pam Bondi's like the 16 seed in the tournament. She's going to get dusted in the first game.
She's in a play-in game at this point.
She's in the play-in game.
I'll tell you what. You know, people are all up to talk. Give her time. How much time? As much time as she needs. How much time is that? I don't know. Okay, so you don't even know how much time you're willing to give her. Now, I get it. Everybody is entitled to a bad day. 3 weeks ago, it's been 21 days. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks ago, we had the Epstein binder, three-ring binder, three-ring circus fiasco. Okay? That's we had it. And we haven't had anything, you know, Anna Paulina Luna saying, oh, phase two is coming soon, deleted the tweet. Alina Haba went on with Benny Johnson and said, oh, prosecutions are coming. Yeah, heard that before. I mean, we gave Jeff Sessions and Bill Barr a lot of time, too. What happened? You know, so I'm not saying that she's going to be a dud. What I'm saying is she's off to a really bad start. As you mentioned, she's in the 16 slot. And I believe, look, asking the question and putting pressure on your public servants and your officials to say, hey, you know, this was a bad moment. What are we going to do to make sure it doesn't happen again? How are we going to rectify it? What's your timeline? What are your goals? You know, what are you thinking? How do you see this playing out? When are we going to get some more answers? I'm not asking for them today. If you don't have them, just say you don't have them.
Yeah.
I really think it's just be honest, right? But the fact that we've had radio silence, aside from a few interviews on Fox News, is not acceptable, right? I think that's not acceptable with regards to Bondi. So I would like to see a little more. I'm not calling for her firing or resignation or this, that. But, I mean, she needs to do a little bit of a better job. I don't think that's unreasonable.
I think we should all aspire to do our job the way Tom Homan does.
Well, yes. And Lee Zeldin, by the way.
I will say that Lee Zeldin, and by the way, that's what I was going to bring up. I mean, Pam Bondi is pretty busy involved in different investigations and what Lee Zeldin did, which I was saving for the big three, but it was historic, where we're not only pulling back on some regulations that restricted our country from doing business and getting things done, but as well what Zeldin and the EPA, what they're doing now with investigating $20 billion that went to these NGOs, and one of the big names, $2 billion of that going to somebody who I can't seem to prove what they were doing with it, Stacey Abrams. I just think that is huge news, and Attorney General Pam Bondi is one of those investigating that. So my jury is out with that, because I think that I'm not going to judge anybody in any administration for their soundbite, I don't know, soundbite efficacy. Should she have gone on Jesse Waters and made that statement? I don't know why she had to do that, but it was on one show, one night. It does not define her or her job so far in my book.
No, the good thing is she has 3 years and 10 months left to right the ship. And you're right. And well, as far as the Epstein stuff goes, when you make that promise or that declaration, Jesse, this thing is huge, and you don't come through. At the end of the day, and I said this yesterday, even though I was critical of Pam Bondi, the Epstein stuff isn't going to make or break my life, right? I would like to know, because we've been told about how juicy it is. But ultimately, Dawn, you are correct. I mean, I will judge her on how she handles prosecuting criminals and doing things to, you know, put the bad guys behind jail. So I totally understand what you're saying.
Tom Holman, blasting sanctuary cities. I play this because Philadelphia, a sanctuary city. Roll this film. Oh, wait, hang on.
Actually, real quick, Sean Farish, do you know, is Nashville a sanctuary city? I should know that. I lived there for almost 5 years.
I
think it is.
Is it?
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah. I know that, look, it may not be like officially titled sanctuary city, but I know that local authorities do not cooperate with ICE in Nashville.
Okay.
So it basically is de facto sanctuary city.
Okay.
It's a sanctuary city.
Is it?
They have sanctuary city laws.
Oh.
Right?
Do they really?
Yeah, Nashville. It's just like Philadelphia. We're even though our mayor's not talking about it, Nashville is a sanctuary city.
All right.
I mean, you can go and take a walk through the city and pretty much find out whether or not they have those laws. That you could pretty much find out what's going on in Nashville. That's why we are 45 minutes to the south.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. So, Dawn, you are correct, and I just did a quick search. This was 6 weeks ago from, believe it or not, WSMV, Channel 4, NBC, which we have to get Sean's thoughts on, because he knows about local TV censorship in Nashville. The headline from their website, new sanctuary city law could send Nashville leaders to prison.
All right, Tom Holman on sanctuary cities. Phil, go.
Because if you don't let ICE into jail to talk to the illegal alien that you locked in a jail cell, not us. You took an illegal alien and locked him in a jail cell. That's who we want to talk to. But instead of letting us give us access to it, honoring or detain it, what did you do? Release him in the public. What does that mean? That means the men and women of ICE are going to have to go out in the neighborhood and find them. So sanctuary cities are going to get exactly what they don't want. More agents in the community and more collateral arrest, because you have forced us in the community because you failed to let us in the jail. What a shame. Why not give access? Someone in the country that committed a crime against you and sitting in jail, why not give access ICE to that person so when you're done with them, we can have them and do our job? Because releasing a public safety threat back in the public is just stupid. Just common sense. Mm-hmm.
Such a radical right-wing position. Letting the bad guys back out in free society is a terrible idea. How can anybody object to that? You know, this all started with the defund the police movement, and then it kind of morphed into the nobody is illegal and don't use the word alien. And what we have here, the way I view this, is Tom Holman, Kristi Noem, and all of these officers that are trying to do their job and make sure that we are safe. And somehow, some way, the Democrat Party wants to stand in their way of that. We talk about bad messaging and how the Democrats don't have a message. They don't even have a counter message to anything, right? It's just, let's resist. Their whole bit is to resist everything that this administration wants to accomplish. And if you disagree with it, that's fine. Tell us why. Nobody with a common sense perspective, I don't believe, can sit here and counter this. Because we know what the end game has been, Sean. Let a bunch of people in, and hopefully 4 out of every 5 vote Democrat one day. That's the goal here.
That's right.
Your safety be damned.
And you mentioned defund the police, and let's not forget bail reform, right? And you commit a you rob a bank in New York, you're back on the street. You hold somebody at knife point on the subway, you're back on the street. I mean, there's no consequences. Mm-hmm. The deterrent for committing those crimes is usually the consequence, right? Like, oh, I'm going to lose my rights. I'm going to lose my freedom. I'm going to go to jail. You know, I'm going to be caught by the police. I'm, you know, like now it's like, okay, I robbed a convenience store. I went to the police station. They gave me a slice of pizza. I went back on the street and I robbed another convenience store. You know, and it just keeps going and going and going. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with these sanctuary city laws. Look, the bottom line, Jasmine Crockett, she decided the other day, say, well, it is not a criminal violation to enter our country illegally. It is. Okay. I mean, it's in the term illegal. Now, what she was probably saying or trying to reference was, look, if you overstay your visa, that is not a criminal violation. That is a civil violation. But if you enter this country illegally, that is a crime. That is a criminal violation, and you are ripe to be deported. Okay? So, idiot. Again, I talk about this. The Democrats' new leadership, Jasmine Crockett, David Hogg, AOC, you know, that's their new guard. I love it.
Don't forget Harry Sisson.
I want more of it.
Harry Sisson. He's now throwing up the middle finger in selfies because Democrats are embracing the cursing culture of sports fans.
So edgy, right? Like, wow, Harry Sisson's really showing us how to be edgy.
Right, God, the guy that can't grow any facial hair.
How has the Trump administration's border policy been going? Tom Homan has some numbers for us. This is cut 15, Phil. Roll it.
You can't have strong national security or border security. No one understood that better than President Trump's first term. His success on the border is unprecedented. Unprecedented. Now, he just came back in office, and I came back out of retirement for the second time to serve this president because I respect him so greatly. He did in 3 weeks what Joe Biden couldn't do in 4 years. Border numbers right now down 96%. 96% border numbers are down. He was at over 90% in 3 weeks. 96% decrease. That means when you got 96% less people crossing that border, less women are being raped by the cartels, less children are dying making that journey, less Americans are dying from fentanyl that comes across the north border, less women and children are sex trafficked, less terrorists are getting into this country. Joe Biden had 400 people on terrorist watches come across the border. In 4 years under Trump, one, we have 14.
Let me just insert a word that Tom Homan did not use. Donald Trump was willing to do what Joe Biden was not willing to do. Securing your border is not rocket science. If you want to do it, it's a relatively easy thing to do. More difficult to get peace between two other nations, Russia, Ukraine. More difficult to establish peace between the Middle East and Israel. More difficult to fix the economy in 1 month. Trump did it in 1 month. I mean, we went from 166,000 crossings to 8,000 in one full month. I mean, it's you just have to be willing to roll up your sleeves and say, hey, this is a priority.
Yeah. As Trump said in the speech, just in the joint address, all we needed was a new president.
Yeah.
And you could apply that to more than just the border, but all we needed was someone. All you needed was someone who was trying.
It's like that skit, though. You ever see the scene in a lot of TV shows or movies, and it's really a kind of a cheesy thing where the somebody has a broom in the sink, and you call in the plumber, and the plumber's just like, hold on. And he pulls the stick out of the broom out of the sink. Oh, problem fixed.
I don't know why my sink is clogged.
Yeah.
You have a broom in it.
Yeah. There you go.
This is why all technical support lines ask, did you turn it off and turn it back on?
Did you power down your modem and recycle it?
Whenever they ask me that, I'm like, you know what? Of course I did, or I wouldn't be on the phone with you.
Yeah.
Okay. I tried all this. I don't want to talk to you. Yeah. I can't understand you.
Yeah.
I don't want to be on the phone with you.
Yep.
Of course I tried all of the things before I called you.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. Please make sure you're hitting the like and subscribe buttons while you're over there. Over here, we will hear from Donald J. Trump coming up very shortly.
Sir.
But, First, I wanted to. this is cut. Sean, you've made the Kale and Company board.
Yes,
I know. Nick sent me. I said this is like being inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame.
He's gonna get the yellow jacket in Canton, baby.
I'm up there with. I mean, we got two sirs on that board. Sure. Mustard. There is so much on that. I mean, it is great. Yeah. It is great.
Four pages.
Mustard. Jacket.
4 pages worth of nonsense. this is cut 18, Phil, if you will. So, sticking with the immigration thing. A new report came out yesterday that a review of DHS and ICE data revealed that the Biden administration was cooking the books on illegal migrant arrests.
Oh,
here's the report from yesterday. Roll it.
Hi, John. Yeah, top leaders with DHS and ICE held a call with reporters to basically give an update on how things were going under the Trump administration so far. And really, one of the main key takeaways from this meeting was these officials claim that the Biden administration has been misleading the public and, quote, cooking the books when it comes to how many illegal migrants actually were arrested over the last 4 years. So these top leaders say that ICE did an internal review, found tens of thousands of cases that were labeled as arrests, but according to them, they were actually illegal aliens who were processed and then released into communities because of catch and release policies under the Biden administration. In fiscal year 2024, ICE made 33,242 at-large arrests. So this means arrests that were made in community settings, not jails or border checkpoints. We'll compare that to so far under the Trump administration. ICE has made 32,809 of these at-large arrests. So in just the last 50 days, they're almost matching the total for an entire year, according to these officials. Here's a further breakdown of those community arrests in the last 50 days. Officials on that call told us 14,111 arrests were convicted criminals, 9,980 have pending criminal charges, and then the remaining 8,718 are immigration violators. Now, when it comes to how many of these illegal aliens have been deported, DHS and ICE leaders did not share those numbers yet with us. They did discuss one of the major issues they're having right now. That's detention centers are at full capacity right now, and they are maxed out. But yesterday, the House passed a spending bill, and in that bill, $10 billion would go toward helping ICE with things like creating more space for these detention facilities so they could actually keep these illegal aliens in custody and not have to release them because of a lack of space, John.
I mean, it's almost hard to believe that this administration, in less than 75 days, has matched the numbers of what the Biden administration did for all of fiscal year 24. I mean, they didn't even try to apprehend people last calendar year. Joe and Kamala were probably like, hey, round up a couple, make it look like we're doing something down there. By the way, for some further context, senior officials said that the majority of the overall 113,000 plus arrests made in 2024 were just pass-through arrests, meaning that ICE didn't take an enforcement action against those foreign nationals, and they instead just passed through ICE before being released into the interior, which would be, of course, our country.
Hmm.
But that makes me feel good, doesn't it?
I mean, there are some reports that as many as 17 million illegal immigrants are now living in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
I'll grant you that number is from a more aggressive, maybe right-leaning group. But so at the least, they're acknowledging 13 to 15. This group says 17 million.
There you go.
Illegal.
Yep. All right, more cuts on the other side, and then Sean Farish will step aside for Donald J. Trump. As we continue, Kale and Company, the 9 o'clock hour is next on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.